Hey, I'm Rita.
And I'm Lee.
And welcome to the Me For Her podcast.
We are two gay women living polar opposite lives in different sides of the country, here to share our thoughts and experiences on a range of topics women go through between 20 and 30. Hello and welcome back to the Me For Her podcast. I am Lee and we are here to talk about our journey from 20 to 30. Now, this episode was inspired a little bit by the fact that I am turning 30 on the 1st of December, so very soon. And over the next couple of weekends, I've got a few little celebrations going on. And so we thought we'd talk about our transition and the things that have changed and the people that we are now compared to when we were in our 20s. Isn't that right, Rita?
Oh my gosh, I'm like so excited for you to hit the 30 club, but I'm also so devastated that I can't be there in person. So it's like mixed emotions.
Yeah, it is very sad that you can't. I never thought I'd be turning 30 and you wouldn't be in Perth.
I know. But I was thinking about our 21st and I can't believe that we didn't really, like, we weren't besties at our 21st. Like, how weird is that?
That's so weird given like how close we are now, and it feels like you've been there for literally all my milestones, like even when I was first walking. So
yeah, even when you slid into Tay's bed, I was there.
You were. So yeah, it's inspired by the fact that I'm joining REITs in the 30 club. I can no longer say I'm 29. Well, I can for 2 weeks. Yeah. Yes. So before we get started, I've actually got the sweetest story I just wanted to share with you all. It's got absolutely nothing to do with turning 30. But Rita, as you know, I went and I saw my midwife today. I had just got off the phone to you and I walked in to the building, and it's the same midwife I had for Oak, but she's moved. Yep. She's moved, I guess you could call it an office, a room. And so I walked into this big building where her office is in, and I walked up to like the lift and I couldn't read the signs. Like, I had no idea where her office situated. And this young man who was like early 20s, I'd say, and I would say was on the spectrum, and I think I've got enough experience to say that he was probably on the spectrum. And he said, "Can I help you? Are you lost?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually, I don't know if you can, but I'm here to see my midwife, and she's in one of the officers' rooms or something here." Like, and he was like, "Oh, like, can you find it on the sign? I only really come use the library, so I don't actually know where you should be going." And I was like, "Oh, bless you, that's okay. I might just go up to the first floor and then I'll just have a look around and try and find it." And he was like, "Well, I can wait with you if you're a bit scared or if you're a bit worried." And Rita.
Oh my god.
He was like half my size. And he was really nervous talking to me at the same time, but was prepared to stand with me. And I nearly cried. Like, I nearly cried because I thought, you epic human being. He's obviously just seen a female that's just a bit miscombobulated and doesn't know where the hell she is, and I'm pregnant and whatever. And he's just thought, I'm going to, you know, I don't protect her. I don't know. Like, completely safe environment. But I just thought,
but also
bless you.
The courage.
Absolutely. And the fact that, but the, you know what got me is that he said to me, are you lost? Do you want some help? But actually only ever goes to the library. Bless and him. I just honestly nearly cried. Pregnancy hormones are real and alive, because I just thought, your mum should be so freaking proud of you that you would offer to stand with me and find this place if I was worried and scared.
I want to borrow some of his courage, because while I was on the phone to you earlier today, I was at the park just reading my book, doing my thing, and there was a lesbian with a dog, and I was like, I should, like, after our conversation the other day, you know, about putting yourself out there and, like, getting to know someone, I was like, I should just go and, like, say, oh, hey, cute dog. And instead I didn't. I finished my conversation with you and walked away. Actually.
I'm so sad I cock-blocked you then.
As I approached her, and I maybe would have said something and just hung up on you, right, because I was, like, building myself up to it. Her dog popped a squat and did a massive shit.
Oh, perfect timing, because she was paused for a minute.
No, because she went like with her little baggie to pick it up, and I was like, all right, maybe this is divine intervention. We're not meant to be.
Oh, I feel like it should have been the perfect time for you to be like, do you want some help?
I'll go there. I'll be there same time tomorrow, babe.
Yeah, you should. Okay, should we get started? That's just a little bit of a feel-good story.
That was
and
really
also
cute.
Feel-good story from us as we get started.
This is me. Welcome to your 30s.
Oh,
okay.
Good times.
What did you do for your 21st since I wasn't there to celebrate with you?
I had like a 21st at the pub, very low key, like it wasn't anything major. And then I went to Bali with like a bunch, you know, like Katie Evans, Lindsay Valentine, Jade Willis. My ex was there and we had a great time. I want to say Noose was there. I feel like Noose would have definitely been there. I don't know. And we went to Bali and
that is such a Perth thing to do. Because
totally,
for those of you in Melbourne, that seems really extravagant. But in Perth, it's 3 hours away. It's cheaper to fly than to Melbourne. It's the same time zone as Perth. It's like pretty much going to Geelong for the weekend.
I'm not sure you need a passport, but no, totally. It is a lot of people do it, but I'm not like I like Bali, but
I'm a Bali groupie. You're not one.
A massive. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. And my brother lives there and we went to Canggu last year and I really like Canggu. It's actually really nice and clean. But I'm not a massive Bali fanatic and I never really have been. But I still had a great time. I was there with friends. So, yes. And it also reminds me of the time we went to Bali, Rita, and you ran and literally disappeared
into a hole.
And it was – I honestly do believe at that moment that we were trying to run back to the taxi and you – just dropped into a hole is probably top three funniest moments of my life.
No shit, it was funny because you didn't fucking help me. You just pointed and laughed. Seriously. And I dropped my phone in the mud pit and all the fucking speaker holes were full with fucking Bali mud.
I will never get that vision out of my head of all of us running, me, you, and was it KJ?
Yeah, it's KJ.
Running on the side of the road of Bali and all of a sudden you just disappear down this fucking hole. And I will never stop laughing about that ever. What did you do for your 21st?
I had like a little fancy bar in Melb's, just invited some family and friends, hooked up with a couple of gals. You know how it is. Went clubbing. one of them was Mo, actually.
Wow. You have dropped that in this. This is the second podcast you've dropped that in.
Maybe I just want to make Mum proud and get her on the pod for an interview. Maybe after her and Belle have their baby. I'll just be like, do you remember that time? She's going to be like, what? We never made out. I mean, you're like, oh, rep ruined.
I have a photo.
I don't have a photo. I've got several photos of the both of us, but not of us making out.
Yeah, look, I think 21st now seem to be very extravagant. Like I see some photos of some people's 21st and I'm like, that literally looks like it costs more than a wedding. Like am I wrong in saying that?
You're not wrong, and I was not one of those people. But I hate my 21st photos because I had a fucking front fringe, and I mean, it did not suit my face. It did not. so I just hate reminiscing back to those days. But we all make mistakes, you know.
It's like the fact that my mum gave me a bob for like many years of my life, and I was like a really chubby younger like toddler slash small child, and. No, but like, it made my face look 400 centimetres rounder. So, yeah, I get it. I get the haircuts that just don't suit you. I've had many. Well, when you were at your 21st and as you entered into your 20s, what did you think life was going to be? What were you expecting to come? Like if you had any expectations, I guess, like what were your plans and expectations?
Well, I think first of all, I thought it, at my 21st, I thought it at my 25th, and I probably, to be honest, thought it last year at my 30th, that you're so grown up and you know everything that there is to know about life. Like, and it's so ironic because, you know, you fast forward a year or 5 years or 10 years and you're like, oh, my God, I fucking had no idea and there's so much to learn along the way. But I guess my expectations, like many other people when you enter your 20s, are, you know, eventually I'll get married, I'll buy a house with a white picket fence and I'll have 2.5 kids and, you know, I'll be a young mum at 30 and, well, look at me. Aren't I the epitome of that?
You're a cat mum.
I am a cat mum. No house, no marriage, no kids yet. But I do hope to get a cool soccer mum car one day. So,
oh, that is something to aspire to, babe.
But honestly, I think that's unfortunately sort of that's a future that society imposes on us, and we really put high expectations on achieving that. And if you don't achieve that in your 20s, I think a lot of people, you know, are quite hard on themselves, and I'm one of them. You know how many battles I've sort of had internally about if I could have done this or should have done this, or if I didn't go on my big gap year and quit my job and travel for a few years, what my life would have looked like. But at the end of the day, I don't regret anything from my 20s. And if anything, you know, I'd encourage myself to go back and do it again, because you learn from it. You totally learn from it. And you and I have completely different lives. We do. But they're not comparable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't compare my life to yours because we've got different values and experiences. And in fact, your brother taught me about the Demartini values and, you know, the fact that you can't compare your values and the choices that you make in life to someone else's because they might not have the same values aligned, you know?
Totally. But that's the thing, and I've always said to you, is like having two kids before 30, well, my second almost will come after I've turned 30, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that has always been a dream of mine. But to some people, they'd go, oh, God, my brother included, like before he turned 30, like marriage and kids and stuff was not a value of his. And marriage still isn't. He wants to have kids one day. But some people could look at the life I'm living and be like, fuck that. Yeah, like, no, thank you. But I think for me, like, heading into my 20s, I really didn't have any expectations. I had spent, like, because I didn't drink all throughout high school, and then I got to, like, 20.
Whoa.
Nah. Yeah, I didn't drink till I was just playing soccer so competitively all the time. Mm. And then, so, but 18 to 20, like, I would, like,
you
I
was drinking up. All you the time. You met up for lost time?
I was going out all the time, and then heading into 20, I really didn't have any expectations. I had a good job, but I didn't have any expectations on, like, I didn't have any, like, 5-year goals or 10-year goals or have any foreseeable future goals. And I always knew I wanted to have kids and in my 20s. But when you're 20, the end of your 20s is still so far away. Like, so it's not like I was really planning it. So I honestly didn't really have any expectations for my 20s. I was just sort of like, living La Vida, doing my own thing. I think after 21, I grew up a little bit. Mm. I wouldn't say like a lot, but given how immature I was at 20, I grew up a little bit. But I don't think I really had any expectations at the beginning of my 20s or going into my 20s. I still felt like a child. I still do, really, sometimes. Mm. Like, and I didn't really feel any pressures to do anything in particular, really.
Wow, that's so interesting, because I totally felt like I did. Maybe that was self-imposed.
Yeah, well, I think it is. But it's also society. Like, we head into our 20s, we're 21, that's when you're considered an adult, like, but you're really not. Like, you're still so young. I just think that I wish I could go back, I think, and tell myself to enjoy. I know it sounds like I did enjoy being young, but just enjoy being young and having the freedoms that I did, and not just freedoms of not having children, but having freedoms of having literally no real expectation on myself. Do you know what I mean? And no real responsibility at all. Mm-hmm. I don't really think anyone, I mean, I don't know. I don't think anyone really appreciates that until they're older.
Until they have kids.
Well, not even that. Like, you look back at when you're 20 and 21, and I'm sure there's probably things you wish you could say to yourself about just enjoying the moment and enjoying that you've got way more responsibility now than you did at 2021.
Yeah, but then it's literally going to go up a step when I have a child. Like, we've had discussions about it. Like, I'll accidentally tell you how I had like a 14-hour sleep, and you'll be like, I haven't had that for 3 years.
I don't know how you accidentally. Yeah. Like, look, for the first 18 months of Oak's life, if anyone spoke to me about how much sleep they had and how they had too much sleep, I'd be like, literally, fuck off.
Note to yourself, if you've got friends with kids, do not mention how much you sleep. It's the biggest slap in the face, and I felt like swallowing my shoe that day.
No, but he sleeps well now, but I still would never get 14 hours, like ever. But you just, it's like, honestly, I don't even know if I could sleep for 14 hours. Who am I kidding? Of course I could. Of course I do. Especially now that I'm pregnant. So you left school and went straight to uni. and then you
sort of, yeah,
you were working as well.
I did the college thing overseas, but I think that's like, I, although I did the college thing in America, it wasn't really travel, it was more college. And then I came back and I finished my degree and I went straight from an internship into a grad program, and in the grad program I early exited into the career, which took me from Melbourne to Perth, right? And then I found myself at almost 25. Oh my God, do you remember my gangster themed 25th birthday?
Yeah, I think you sent me a photo the other day or posted it.
We did.
Or
did something with it. Anyways, so I found myself at 25, just like so hungry for travel and like to explore the world. And I felt like I sort of got robbed of, you know, the gap year between, you know, uni and starting a career like everyone else. So at that point, you know very well, I quit my job. I traveled the world for a few years back and forth and operated my own business. And I don't know. I don't regret it at all. The consequence of that was, one, great memories, but two, I racked up a shit ton of debt. And that's sort of like taken a while to recover from. Like, literally only probably this year have I finally recovered from that sort of financial fuck up, I guess, if you would. But mm-hmm. I don't regret it. I don't regret it. I just have to remind myself that, you know, if the price of, you know, quitting your job and living la vida for a few years is being 30 and not having property to your name and only just getting out of debt, then, you know, so be it. I'll start a little bit later, you know.
But it's not even a little bit later. It just depends on, again, your perspective and what you think is a little bit later and what society's told us is a little bit later. But for me, I was a bit the same. I remember Claire, our friend, went on mm-hmm. a three-month independent trip through Europe when she was like 18 or 19. And wow. I just thought I could never do that. And I had no desire to either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it wasn't until, and then again, 2021, no massive desire to travel. And then I met Tate, 22, and my sister moved internationally. And that when I met Tay, we both sort of were like, we eventually want to buy a house, but we'd like to travel first before mm-hmm. all that. So it wasn't until I sort of met Tay at about 23, and then at about 23, and then when my sister moved away, that I was inspired to go travel, one, to mm-hmm. visit my sister, and because I was with Tay and that's who I wanted to do it with. And then like in between 23 and when I had Oak, like yep. we did a fair bit of traveling.
You did heaps. India and yeah.
Yeah. And I love America. We spent so much time in America, and honestly, like, I'm so glad we did, because we always wanted to travel with our kids yeah. and I don't know when that'll happen again, but I'm so glad we did that. I feel satisfied in the amount of travel we've done, but hungry for more, I guess you could say, especially with children. But yeah, I never really had that itching. I want to go on like a 3 months adventure on my own sort of trip. I've just always wanted to do trips here and there and see parts of the world and then come home.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I've never traveled with a partner, so I think that would be really cool, you know, in the future.
I think people say like, oh, it really is make or break, but like for us,
you traveled well together.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. And like, we've always been really lucky with the places we've traveled with we've either traveled with friends or mm-hmm. my family, and we've always had like a base, and it's been really good. So if you chucked us in the middle of India under different circumstances than we went to, and we just had to fend for ourselves, it might have been different. But yeah, Tay and I've always just traveled really well together. We've never come back from a trip and been like, get the fuck away from me.
That's good. I went on a 2-week one and that happened. So I forgot about that. I have traveled with a partner.
So did I. So did I. And do you know what's so funny is that you came.
Yeah.
Perth after, and the conversations we had, fuck me, they were funny. Like looking back at them now,
yeah,
talking about that trip that you went on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Next. All right.
All right. So tell me about your experiences with like one night stands and like your party times, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think we've touched on the pod previously on Dawson's Creek. Mardi Gras. We both had wild nights at Mardi Gras. I didn't pick up your ex in the end, even though I tried to, and she rejected me.
I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You picked up your ex. That makes sense. I've only had a couple of one-night stands, one of which was in Perth, and our good friend Belle tried to stop me from going down that dangerous road, bless her. And I was like, nah, it's fine. It's funny. Call you tomorrow. I wish you did.
There's a lot of people in Perth, and I know this person and I like this person. We're friends, but there's a lot of people in Perth that have gone down that dangerous road.
There's a lot of people in Perth, not even in Perth, sorry, that have also gone down that road, because the Tinder match I told you about last week has also gone down that dangerous road.
Well, yeah, that actually I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like the Shane of Perth.
I actually went to Brisbane with this person and saw to see your Tinder match.
Lol, Zanya.
And her sister.
Funny. Yep.
And do you know what else is funny?
Okay, here we go.
Okay, so the weekend, my ex caught me messaging that other girl, right?
You were in Brisbane, I remember.
I was in Brisbane for your Tinder match's 21st birthday.
Oh, we're just fucking riding the stereotype train, aren't we? So whatever, I've had a couple of one-night stands. Yeah, I just love having a couple of drinks with my friends and having a good time and getting on the D floor. And you know those nights that you don't plan? We had plenty in Perth. Plenty of nights that we crawled back from the court.
I haven't had many one-night stands and I don't really like them. I find them very awkward, especially like the next day.
No one likes a one-night stand.
A lot of people like one-night stands. Are you kidding?
Mm. It's just like awkward. It's like
It is the next day, but a lot of people like it because there's like it's just okay, see ya. No commitment.
NSA, do you know what that means? Here's some slang for you.
No strings attached.
Oh, she's got it.
I've never heard it, but it wasn't hard to string together.
Okay.
String together. Anyway. Well, I was about to say I wish that, and I haven't had a drink for over 4 years now, but I would love to go back and be us for one more night, like go back in time and have a night for your apartment with like the Katie and the Bow.
And Mossimo Jocks. Yeah.
And a bit more, I never had Mossimo Jocks. I had Calvin Klein.
Okay, of course.
As has every lesbian in Australia. And because we were so carefree still then we were really carefree. You were what, 23 and I was 22 or 23 and 24.
Yep.
And we were still so carefree and we had not many responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we could go back and enjoy just one more night.
So note to yourself, if you're still in your mid to early 20s, just enjoy the fuck out of it, because one day you're going to wake up with a few more responsibilities, have it, you know, being in a relationship or single, kids or no kids, whatever. Just enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Spend money on memories. Sure, buy a round of shots. Buy a plane ticket. Get the hell out of here. That's my advice to you.
Totally. Just enjoy and don't think about it too much because, you know, as much as I love the life I have now, I feel like we take for granted the freedoms we have at a young age.
Absolutely. I agree with you. What about your relationship with, like, your mum? Because obviously you guys are, like, BFFs. Right now, but like, has that evolved in your 20s? Because I know that my relationship with my mum has.
Yeah, like I think I was a really stubborn, really hot-headed, like 15, like middle teen, and then I sort of came good, and then we sort of drifted again, like from the 18 to 20, because I was going out all the time. But I would always say that my mum has always been like the most important person in my life. But our relationship was just very different. I was on a completely different path. I had spent my whole life playing soccer literally every day, and then all of a sudden I'm 18 and I'm going out. And so I guess I didn't share too much with my mum at that point in my life because I didn't want to feel shamed, maybe. And then heading into my 20s again, like I moved out. I'd move out and then move home, move out, move home. And again, we were close, but never like super duper close, because I would always keep distance because, again, I didn't want mum judging anything I was doing,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was working, but I was just going out a lot more and questioned some of my friendships because some people I was hanging around with were dodgy AF. and then I think, yeah, around 22, sort of like when I met Tay, and since 22, we've been really, 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 really close. She's my best friend. I see her and speak to her every day. She lives next door. And I built a house next to hers. And, yeah, she's a legend. And my heart, honestly, breaks for people who either don't have their mum or don't have a great relationship with their mum, because I honestly don't know what I'd do without my mum. And I know you're the same.
Yeah, 100%. I think my mum and I went through a bit of turbulence, as most people do when they're, you know, in their teens, living together, going to that stage of going out, turning 18, never being home, taking for granted that, you know, the fact that your parents are doing everything for you. Or in my case, my mum was paying rent. I don't think I paid rent, doing chores, cooking, cleaning, and all they want in exchange is for you to spend 2 hours on the couch with them and you're just out the door every day. Or at least that's what I was doing, and my awareness wasn't there at the time. So, and then the whole gay thing, and I was lying about where I was and whatever. So we had a rocky couple of years while I was approaching my 20s. But I think definitely from my mid-20s onwards, don't get me wrong, my mum and I never had beef. We just weren't as close as we are now. And I think I had this conversation with Katie, my other best friend, recently, and we both agreed that our relationships with our mum have become more like a friendship and less like a parenting relationship in our late 20s. And for that reason, we talk to them about stuff that we never previously would have been comfortable talking to them about. And we don't ask for approval. We ask for advice as a friend, you know, and it's much more, I just love it. Like, I talk to my mum, or I'll drop in and it'll be a friendly conversation about whatever. And it won't be, you know, a judgy sort of parenting, although she did give me a spray on the weekend. But, you know, occasionally they can do that. But I just love that now we're like more two good friends as opposed to, you know, a mum and daughter, which is really special.
Totally. Absolutely agree. So, you know, you've touched on wanting to buy a house and it being a part of your future. When did that start? Like, when did you say to yourself, like, have you always known you wanted to own your own house, or has it just sort of come about because you think you should because you're a certain age?
You know, it's so weird because when I was thinking about this question, I, like, my mum has never owned property, and it's pretty much just been my mum since, you know, I was two. My dad wasn't really in the picture. So she's single and independent woman, single mum of two since I was two. And she never owned her own house, still doesn't to this day. You know, I grew up in housing commission, my family home, mum still lives there. I love it. And I didn't think anything less of my childhood. Like, we didn't have a lot of money, just like you guys didn't. But mum rented her whole life, is still renting. And I don't know where this desire has come from for me, this strong desire to want to purchase my own property and own it. And maybe it's because I know that my mum fucking worked her ass off to give me and my sister better lives, and she sacrificed, you know, a lot, just like your mum did, to give us the best chance at life. And maybe there's a small part of me that feels like I need to prove it to her that, like, I can do it and I can own a house or whatever. But then there's also just the future that I want for me and my family. Like, not that I look down upon anyone renting, I'm renting right now, but I think it's just the Australian dream, you know, who doesn't want to own their own piece of property in the world? And I think for me now at my age, you know very well that I am like, I really want to live by myself now. I've loved the housemates that I've lived with. I've got a good one now, but fuck it. You know, I'm just at the age where I want to live by myself, and living by myself in the area that I'm living now is fucking expensive. So if I'm going to spend $350 to $400 a week on a one bedroom, it might as well be my own mortgage. Drop the mic.
Totally. Absolutely agree. My mum owns her house. We always grew, but we never, like, it was not a, it wasn't, none of us have ever grown up going, oh, I have to own a house, I have to own a house. Whereas Tay, my wife, her dad always, and not with ill intent, but always sort
drilled
of
it into
emphasized owning a home with Tay. And so before we met, she was about to buy in a suburb in Perth that, well, I would never live in, but I wasn't around at the time. But she was about to buy and she was like 20. And then anyway, we met and before the travel thing came about, she was like, I just want to buy a house. Like that was her only real goal. And I was like, really? Like, I just don't get that. I don't get it. I don't get why that makes you feel better. Like I know that apparently it's like
the thing to do,
the dream, but I never understood that. And I still don't really now. We did go traveling and then we decided we wanted to build a house. But that was more because we were going to start a family. But even like 6 months ago, even I, my mindset was like you with your mum. Even if we rented the house we're living in now, would Oak know? No.
No, you would have no clue.
I think the difference between now and when you were growing up is like landlords or the owners of the house can give you 30 to 90 days notice and you've got to be out.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's happening a lot. Yeah. Like that's happening a lot. And that to me is why I'm glad we own a house. That is literally pretty much the only reason.
Security, right?
Is the security, and no one can kick me out of this house because I own it. Like, and Oak has that security, and that's the only reason. But otherwise, like, it was never on my, if I own a house, I have made it. Like, at all, at all. Mm-hmm. And when I think about my life now and I think about all the things that I've achieved and I'm proud of, like owning a house, is it one of them? Having kids at the age that I did was always, always, always what I wanted. And I'm very proud of that and I'm very happy with that. But I'm happy we own a house. But again, yeah, for Tay, it was a much bigger deal than it was for me.
It's interesting because, like, the cost of living now is so much higher compared to wages than it was, say, you know, when your mum bought her house, right? And not to say that she didn't do it hard. I know that she did. But, like, it's fucking expensive in today's world. If you're on your own, especially, but even as a couple, to afford, you know, your own piece of land or buying. And and it's tough for people. And I think that's why people are getting older and older as they start to, you know, buy a house, have kids or whatever. In our case, actually, I'm not going to generalize because I know I'm assuming with IVF and that's going to be expensive. But in cases like yourself, it doesn't have to be that expensive if you go down different fertility routes. But I need to factor that in too. Because in, you know, my five-year plan, I want to have a kid and hopefully meet someone to build a life with, you know. So
I think also like the hard thing about buying a house now is that people are having to go to their parents to be guarantors or they've got to have literally like so much money in savings. It's like a $100,000 deposit or a guarantor or this or that. You've got to jump through rings of fire. Like,
well, you know, I was recently looking to buy and I don't have the option of a guarantor because my mum doesn't own anything. I don't have anyone else in the family who can be that option for me. And you saw the stress I was going through talking to the broker, trying to count every cent to try and get this deal over the line. And it got to the point where I was just like, it can wait. It can fucking wait 6 months for me to save a little bit more. I do not want to be dragging my heels and skipping things when COVID has just opened up Melbourne again and Christmas is around the corner. Like, do I want a house? Yes. Do I have to buy one right now? No. I'm just going to wait. But I know exactly what you mean.
You totally made, I think you made the right decision. And for me, like, we didn't have, we didn't, my mum didn't have to go guarantor for us. But if, like, that would have been so stressful. I mean, I like, I wouldn't have bought a house unless I was confident that we could afford it and pay for it.
Yes. Yeah.
But, like, to make my mum go guarantor would have been so scary. Stressful for me. So putting people in that position as well, it's like, yeah, great, you've got that option. But, like, that's a scary freaking option. So, anyway, that's another story. But, yeah, I wouldn't be putting pressure if there's people out there that are like, oh, my God, I'm this age and I don't own a house. Like, I don't think it fucking matters. I really don't.
Well, I've learned, I mean, and we're still learning every day, but, you know, I've got two of my best friends who essentially did the opposite to me and bought houses and bought property in their early 20s. And I didn't. And I went to uni and I did that path and I traveled. And, you know, 10 years later, a decade later, we've got very different outlooks of our lives. They've got property and I don't and whatever. And for a long time, I compared myself. But you just can't, because I could think that someone with a mortgage and a fucking fantastic backyard and the white picket fence has it all together and they're happy as Larry, maybe paid off half their mortgage by now. But, you know, does that automatically make them happy or better than me because I don't have that on paper? Of course it doesn't. And the only person comparing them to me is myself. It's not
one. But that's the thing is, it's values. It's values. And I'm not taking away. If someone has saved and saved and saved and saved and what they wanted to do was not to travel but to buy a house, kudos to you.
Exactly.
Like, that is epic.
Yeah.
I'm not taking away from that. But to me, is it the be all and end all? No. I don't think it's a matter of I want to have kids or I want to do this, but I should really own a house. Like, I don't personally think you do. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, there's that scary side of people being able to say your lease is up in 90 days and then the rental market's really crap. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I think, and, you know, you like your friends that own houses, they're not looking at you going, oh, my God.
Poor Reets.
Does she not own a house yet? What a povo bitch.
No, and you know, I've spoken to one of them about this and she said, sure, I've got all that, but, you know, I've had my own struggles and do I wish that I did what you did for half of your 20s? Of course I do. So the grass is always greener. So the moral of the story, boys and girls, is that you don't have to have your shit together, whatever that looks like in your heads, by 30 or by 28 or by 24 or whatever. Everything is figure outable. Just do what makes you happy and make the most of it.
Also, I hear so many people being like, if I don't have kids before 30, like my eggs are going to like die nearly. Like, that is absolutely not necessarily true. I'm not saying.
I used to be one of those.
But yeah, there's obviously, I can't talk for everyone and some people could have fertility issues, but I've got friends. I've got a friend that is 43 and is pregnant with her third. Like, and she doesn't take any magic pills or anything like that. I've got another really close friend who's in her late 30s that's pregnant again. And it's like the housing. I just don't think age, you shouldn't get to a certain age and be like, all right, let's start having kids now.
Yeah.
That sounds so rich coming from me, but I didn't get to a certain age. I was just ready at that point in my life.
Yeah. You and Tay were ready
to
yeah.
have kids. And if that had been 32, 34, 35, whatever, then that would have been it for us. But I was ready at that time. And yes, the one thing that I probably did go into my 20s wanting was to have kids. I said I wanted to be pregnant or have a kid before, like, but as I turned 30. And it just happened to be.
Oh
that
my God.
I've got 1.5.
Cute. You're almost a statistic, babe. Almost.
But yeah, I definitely just think it is all the comparison game. Like, and everyone's guilty of it. We jump on Instagram, we see people living a certain life, and we think the grass is green. Mm-hmm. They're living that perfect life. I can guarantee they're not. And it's not, everyone puts, you know, it's the highlight reel, as people call it. And that's why I like to take my breaks from it. But you've got to be really, because again, like, we didn't appreciate what we had in our early 20s. We're going to look back now and wish we could appreciate what we've got now.
In our early 30s, because that's what we are almost. And you will be in 2 weeks. I fully freaked out before my 30th. Did you freak out?
I think it's coming. I don't know if it's coming. I feel like it is coming. But I also don't have time. Like, I just don't have time for a freak out at this point in my life. And I'm just ready for it to come and go. Because it's been such a build up this whole year. All everyone my age has turned 30 because I'm December. And everyone that's turned 30 has turned 30. And I'm sort of like, all right, let's just be done with 29 now. Let's just get it over and done with. Let's kick on. And maybe I will have a meltdown, but I cry a lot at the moment because I'm pregnant and I'm very hormonal. So I cry over a lot. So maybe I'll just blame that.
I'll tell you what, let's make a pact.
I don't know. I feel fine with turning 30.
Make a pact. No matter what or where we are in the world, we will spend our 40th together.
Yes. Well, you've got to live in not such a, I was going to say disease ridden, but
excuse
I'm not
me,
going.
Excuse me, we're fucking 0-0. Yeah. We're 0-0, bitch. We are 0-0.
Yeah. Well, then I don't know why the fuck Mark McGowan won't let you in my state.
Marky, we're coming. 28 days almost.
He will.
Open up.
He will let you in. You've just got to sit in a box for 2 weeks.
That's fine. As long as it's at your house upstairs.
You can actually do that. Josh, I know. A friend of mine, his parents just quarantined in his house with him and his kids. Yeah, and I was like, you can do but that. You're leaving your house. That's ridiculous. It's like, how does that make sense?
All right. What a great episode. Lee J, I am so excited for you to join the 30 Club. I hope you have a great time celebrating on the weekend.
You know, it's just a lunch. Like, I'm not having a party or anything.
It's definitely a party. What dress are you going to wear on Saturday?
I actually don't know.
Okay, good chat.
I don't know. I'm pregante.
Pregante. All right, well, have a great time. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
And if you are loving what you're hearing on the Me For Her pod, leave us a like or a subscribe. What are they doing? See you, bye.